Hello, everybody. We're going to name this first segment of the Easter season Disembodied. A friend with whom I studied psychology in seminary years ago insisted that she hold the tension between studying the inner lives of people, psychology, and theology, how and what we believe as Christians. She said this, "My childhood was all spirit. We denied our messy humanity, covered it up with faith. If I want to know this Jesus, I need also to know who I am, who we are, how God made us." I will never forget her clarity and her commitment. We refuse what is human to our peril. Christopher West describes this split as angelism and animalism. The way Christians get into trouble when human desires, especially sexual ones, are denied, e.g. angelism, then becomes scandalous, animalism. Quoting philosopher Charles Taylor, Father Robert Imbeli describes our flight from ourselves as excarnation. God took on humanity, incarnation, to help us reconcile with our troublesome flesh. Yet we still tend to excarnate ourselves, opting to spiritualize what is material, our flesh, especially when we conflict with ourselves. That was my first impression of IHOP, Kansas City. My son Nick had found a good home there for cultivating faith and spiritual discipline. But I was a little concerned when I noticed that the topics in the bookstore, prayer, prophecy, deepening devotion, neglected any reference to what it meant to be a human being, worshiping alongside of hundreds of others. Where was the equivalent of St. John Paul II's theology of the body, exploring what it means to be human, made in his image, in our sexual selves as male and female? These are primary questions for displaced young people trying to figure out holiness from the vantage point of need and longing, adding to that an authentic desire to glorify Jesus in all of it. IHOP Kansas City possessed a rich spirituality that was subject to deformation due to deficient human formation. Without teaching and staffing that regarded human need on par with spiritual growth, IHOP KC became imbalanced. Added to this was Mike Bickle's inordinate emotional and physical bonds with certain women, that he could somehow spiritualize these bonds, thereby denying their danger, set an ugly precedent that literally has brought down the house. Three cautionary factors for any Christian community. First, Christian denial of what it means to be human is a form of Gnosticism, a heresy as old as the New Testament. Gnosticism takes on many forms, but St. Paul appears to major on and combat two aspects of it. The first is a special knowledge, or in Greek, gnosis, a secret truth that sets one spiritual group apart from another. Paul writes of this in 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. This kind of special knowledge fuels an elitism, which is fanned by a second component, the divide between what is spirit and flesh. Spirit good, fleshly humanity bad. Special spiritual knowledge grants one privilege over human complications, as in Colossians 2, verses 18 through 23, and in other strains, like at Corinth, where human excess even mattered little in light of the glorious knowledge that the Corinthians shared and prided themselves on. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 and 13. St. Paul countered to the Corinthians that the body mattered. God made the body, God assumed a body in Christ, incarnation, and thus Christians were responsible to steward well the reality of housing the Spirit within one's body itself. Sexual immorality violated both body and spirit. God gives his creation authority through the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus to be reconciled to that original dignity in their bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 20 through 20. Over-spiritualizing one's humanity and minimizing bodily violations results in my second caution, arrogance. Most Christian movements that glory in a special anointing tend to minimize looking at the human dimension of things. Recovery stuff is often mocked as a navel-gazing tendency that weak people have, never for the spiritually elite. This also relates to the old boys' club mentality, where interiority is deemed feminine and fussy. This mockery was sadly on display in this clip that I mentioned in the blog of Mike Bickle and Sam Storms as they laughed off attempts by an outside organization, in this case a directive from the Vineyard's John Wimber for Mike to get Christian therapy, to rein in Mike by urging him to take a reflective look at his broken humanity. This mockery is actually sickening, as the clip reveals. IHOP KC tended to cultivate pride in possessing a special awareness and commitment to Jesus that precluded taking care of the messier, mundane aspects of their corporate humanity. And sadly, Mike led the way here. The third and conclusive point about a semi-Gnostic take on humanity: no authority to steward well the reality of one's passions. Scripture is crystal clear here. When we deny, what we deny or minimize about our humanity can overtake us and scandalize the whole. St. Paul said it best to the Colossians. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen spiritually, and yet his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head. Their regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Colossians 2, verses 18 through 19 and 23. Let us learn from others' missteps. Jesus assumed a body to help us reconcile with ours. We share a common struggle and dignity as embodied spirits. Let us submit to each other in reverence for Jesus, so that in everything, including our bodily humanity, Jesus might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:18. Thanks for joining me.